This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fender Bender and Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson and I'm very happy to have your company today. A massive thanks to Mark and Joe for the Escape Pod, who will be back next week at 2 o'clock, of course, right here on the gayest radio station in Australia, Joy 94.9. And I am joined in the studio by two lovely human beings. Dan Gardner, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fabulous, thank you. Human being, I'm not sure whether, I don't know whether I really feel entirely like a human this morning.
But, really?
I said this morning, that's clearly an indication of just how off the planet
really?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
You do look like a small gerbil, so...
thanks very much. Taking that as a compliment?
I'll pat you later.
Hello. Okay. And who's the other human being?
Being is the wonderful Matt Brogan. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a long time.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't... You've been back since we did a motorbike show.
Mm, which was great.
Which was fantastic, which we are going to do again at some point.
Excellent.
Hopefully. So we have lost one of our motorbike people, of course, in Jeremy.
Yes, gallivanting somewhere in deep, dark Thailand.
Yes.
Somewhere, probably on a motorbike.
Possibly. And judging by social media pages, he is having a terrific time.
Oh, dear. In a way that we cannot discuss at the moment.
precisely. But you've been well? You've been busy?
Really busy. Yeah. Busy doesn't even begin to start where I've been. But, look, can't complain.
And
it's
you've been
all good.
In traffic this morning, but for a good reason.
Crazy traffic to get here. But look, it was people doing things on our behalf that should be done. So, more power to them.
Exactly. If you're out there protesting for marriage equality, thank you. We would like to have been there, but we're on the radio because we're important. I'm just kidding. But thank you. Thank you for doing that.
How are you, Tim?
Look, you know what? I'm on a high. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm on a bit of a high.
What is it? What's it to do with?
It's a natural high. I went to the theatre last night.
Now, this was for King Dong or whatever it's called, wasn't it? Oh, no, sorry, that's a different play.
Very different show. King Kong, I went and saw, thanks to the lovely people at Honda. Honestly, I'm not a musical fan in any way, shape or form. That show was amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the difference?
Look at the staging. They've got this one-ton gorilla on a stage.
Wow.
And it's all puppetry and...
So they have to, keep it in chains or something?
No, well, they do, but he gets out. Oh. Spoiler alert.
Oh, hello.
But look, giant monkeys make anything better, honestly.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Honestly. And it just looks incredible. And what's gone into it as far as the staging is concerned, they do everything live. The voice of Kong, which is terrifying, is all live. You don't see an orchestra because they're behind the stage somewhere. You just don't see anything. It's just... awesome. Yeah. If you don't care for musicals, but you just want to see a spectacle, go and see King Kong.
Wow. But of course, not everyone has the privilege of being taken along by a Japanese motoring manufacturer.
Thank you to the good people at Honda.
Yeah.
But thanks to them, it was a terrific night. But we're not here to talk theatre, guys. I mean, we could.
Well, I'd like to think that Fender Bender is a form of theatre all of its own.
A little bit.
Tim.
Yeah, that's true.
A little performance every week.
Yeah,
and so was Ford's announcement this week.
Yeah, what a beautiful
what
segue.
What a segue. That was some of the most contrived, staged performance I have seen in a long time.
It's true. Yep. Now, Matt, of course, you're talking about all of the bigwigs, Alan Mulally, the head of Ford, the COO, the chief operating officer, I think, as well, and the other American who runs the Ford Australia, Bob Graziano. So it was a bunch of Americans coming over here. Saying to Australia, hey, we are still amazing. Ford is still amazing. Despite the fact that we are closing, manufacturing, we're still awesome.
Yeah, and there's some good news and some bad news in amongst that. And, hey, the Mustang's coming, so, that's great.
Which people I think, are probably going to be pretty excited about.
Yeah, but it just, that news met me with a little soreness, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
It's not the first time I've encountered a horse and felt some soreness, if you know what I mean. I mean the Mustang,
yes,
of course.
Of course.
But, I don't know, is this their way of saying, sorry about this, we're going to take away thousands of jobs and a bit of productivity from Australia and an icon that everyone loves, whether you like Ford or not, everyone generally loves Falcon. Mm. And in return, we're going to give you an American sports verging on supercar. It's sort of, the magic. I would have been very excited if we hadn't had the announcement that Ford are ceasing manufacturing in 2016.
Yeah.
this is just marred, and it always will be. I will always associate the arrival of Mustang in Australia with the death of Falcon. Mm, yeah. And for that reason, I can't like it as much as I should.
Matty, do you think, is that, do you agree? Is it like, this is the sweetener?
Look, I agree entirely. Yep. But, you know, it's long overdue since we haven't had that here for a long time. And last time it was in such small numbers that it really didn't count. And most people, you know, blink and you'd miss it.
Yeah.
And at the moment, they've only said, look, hey, you get the four-cylinder one. How about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
there's a four-cylinder Mustang?
Yeah.
That's like the racehorse that has its leg broken and has to be put down on the side of the circuit. That's the kind of Mustang we're getting.
Kind of.
Yeah. So it's more like a Shetland pony than
it,
you know?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's disappointing. I'm assuming there's a V8, obviously.
Oh, there is. Yeah. But that's all they've confirmed so far.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking Falcon and giving us a really slow car.
And this is obviously, I mean, they've not announced that FPV will go, but I mean, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
Surely that will
case
happen.
Surprise.
So this is the makeup for it. Now, the last Mustang, was that the 90s?
Yeah, it was 98, 99, and it was pretty full on, and it was very expensive, and it was very small numbers, and it went like stink, actually.
Did it?
Yeah. Okay. When it was running right, it had a lot of ECU issues. But once you got it sort of settled and got the bugs out, it was
right.
Pretty entertaining for a live axle car too.
Well, it's interesting because Ford have an odd history of American sports cars in Australia. I'm not sure if you will probably remember the Probe.
Yes.
In the 90s. Ford Probe. Now,
sorry, it's too funny. I can't hear that name with that. What?
Who calls a car a Probe?
I know.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was a car that was originally designed to be a Mustang, and they decided, no, it's a little bit too small.
Oh,
became something else. And it was actually the first car, if I'm not wrong, entirely designed by a woman.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
You are quite right.
So named by a woman?
No, I don't think she named it, but...
I don't know. I'm just asking the question. Sorry, I didn't really ask it for any particular reason.
Well, the other one was the Cougar, which was actually spelt now, not like the current Cougar.
Yeah, like C-O-U-G-A-R.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, which is another flashback to late 60s, early 70s American Muscle.
Okay, but it had that edge design. It was all weird.
Yeah, like the Puma that we didn't get here as well.
So I'm assuming that the next Mustang's going to be a little bit sexier than that. They're also said they're bringing out the new Transit van for all your tradies out there that are listening to Joy 94.
And the Everest / Canyonero.
So it is a little bit. So the Everest, now that's been designed in Australia, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alongside the, I think it's the Ranger Ute. It's based on that, is that
right? That's right, yeah. It's sort of semi... Ranger, a little bit of territory, a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Because Ford R&D is remaining in Australia.
Yeah, which is great, and that's terrific. What I do question as well about this decision, or this announcement, is that it was done at Fox Studios in Sydney. Now, Ford manufacturing and everything Ford is in Melbourne and Geelong.
Mm.
Wouldn't you have
weird
Melbourne
decision.
Or Geelong?
Let's blow some cash, eh?
It's pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I think, saw through that. So let us know what you think. Are you devastated that Ford is leaving Australia? Are you excited that we're getting all these new cars? 0427JOY949 on air at joy.org.au is the email address. We would love to hear from you. Now, some non-Ford news, guys. We've just seen yesterday, BMW have shown a concept. It's the M4, which is replacing the M3.
Mm.
It is gold.
You mean quite literally
gold?
Made of, but as no, in colour.
Colour. It looks like what you think that the M4 will look like.
Yeah.
I guess.
It does.
Yeah.
It looks like a two-door Beamer. It looks like somebody fabulous has chosen the colour scheme.
Yeah.
They've
had their way with a bit of a body kit.
Yep.
They've got some M badges on it and a big set of wheels, and that's what we wanted, really.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fantastic and fast and handle really well and all those things that M cars usually do.
Is it wrong that it doesn't... I'm not kind of going, oh, I'm not really excited about that. Is that bad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the support. Well, look, you know, I haven't driven an M car, so maybe that's probably why.
That'll change your mind.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I will get excited when BMW furnish me with an M car.
They will. They'll be listening.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Now, on German car makers, another reveal this week is the Mercedes-Benz GLA, which is A-class hatch base.
Yes.
And it's like a little mini SUV.
Yeah, it's sort of the Subaru XV of the Mercedes world.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it looks terrific.
Yeah, good looking car. And after the last, we had the A-Class launch recently as well, which was a lovely looking little car as well. They are hitting the nail right on the head at the moment, Mercedes, with their styling. Really good.
We've talked about this before. I totally agree. I think, in fact, I think they are the best looking German cars at the moment. I can't believe I'm saying that as a long term. I've always loved Audi design. I think the current crop of Mercs, with the exception of the SL and GL and a couple of others, are looking really, really good. And I take my hat off.
You pedalling backwards, young man.
Yeah. He thought about what he said. Yeah. He's gone out on air and he's thinking, I'm going to have to correct myself.
Calm down, Nicholson.
Now, I do have to agree that Mercedes are doing some excellent things in the styling world at the moment. And yeah, I have to agree.
And I think they're going to sell a bucket load of
Well, if the A-Class has anything to go on, then yeah, they will.
Totally. Nice ass, that car.
Yeah. We like a nice ass here on Fender Bender, don't we?
We really do. Now, one other bit of news, guys. It's being reported that the Saab factory in Sweden, I've forgotten the name of the town,
is going to be turned into a
Trollhättan or something like that. Yeah.
It's reopening to build the old Model 9-3. They are reportedly starting to build the old 9-3 again with just a normal combustion engine, because they're going to be reborn as an electric car company.
Look, somebody's putting amyl in the fog machine at that company. Honestly, it's not right. That car was old.
What company has a fog machine? Can we just do that, please?
Well, a fabulous company.
Do car companies have
that's Swedish
smoke machines?
Yeah,
I suppose they've got ABBA in the cupboard as well.
And slapping each other with birch sticks.
Yeah, right.
Look, that car was old when it finished here. Why would you want to start again with something that's so far behind the eight ball?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it, really? Who's going to buy it?
No. Like, with the competition out there at the moment. And what I find a bit sad about this is, I remember a few months ago, photos were revealed of what the next 9-3 was going to look like.
Mm.
And I thought it looked absolutely stunning. It had that beautiful kind of fastback, like old 9-3s.
Yep.
Could have
been
a really big car for them. And obviously it never got to see the light of day. They're not doing that. They're doing the old one. Mm.
Well, if they're going to do the old one, then couldn't they have just gone a few years back and brought back the 99 Turbo? The original. That one that started the things in motion for silly turbocharged cars. Couldn't they have done that again?
Or maybe the 9000 GLE with its brothel-like interior. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
What else, guys?
Yeah. Yes.
Odd move.
Funny decision to bring back that of all.
But people love Saabs and it probably will sell a few units.
But who's doing this? I mean, who is...
It's a Chinese company who are basically...
Oh, dear.
Bringing back
Saab. Oh, dear. I just instantly lost interest in everything. Yes.
But now, look, Geely own Volvo, and Volvo are doing great things.
Yeah, but then also look at MG, who is now a Chinese guy, and they are pretty awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe they're not that awful, though. You've driven the Seat.
I've driven it. Yeah. It's...
Well, they're not very safe. What did that one just get recently? Yeah. 4 stars?
3 stars.
It's a little hit and miss, you know. There's good elements, but as an entire package, it just doesn't gel. Yeah.
And they're too expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, great. Nice one, Saab.
Good luck, Saab. That's what we say to them.
Because you're going
to
need it.
Yep. And it's funny because my friend Marcus actually used to say when he'd see a gaggle of gay men, he'd say, oh, look, it's a Saab full of gays. So, let us know if you're excited about Saab coming back. 0427JOY949 is the number. This is Fender Bender. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We have Tim, Dan and Matt here. The lovely Mike Costello is not with us this week. He's having a week off, but he will be back with bells on next week. Guys. So, stuff's been happening this week. It's quite a busy show, busy week. It's all happening. We will be talking about convertibles very soon, so if you want to get your top off, stick around.
Wow.
I'm sitting here with my top off right
now. You are right. This is radio, so you know, people taking their clothes off really doesn't have much benefit to our listeners.
That's true, actually, unless we had some kind of video link up.
We need I like the idea of having a studio webcam. I would be more outrageous than I am
that's
if we had
true.
A studio webcam.
You probably would. Would you wear pants?
Well, I'm not now, so why bother
why
then?
Why start now? Yeah. Exactly. Now, speaking of pants, I'm going to segue into something that has nothing to do with it.
I can't see where you're going. I know what we're going to talk about, and I have no idea how you're going to link this in.
So we saw an article this week about the head trauma policeman in Victoria has gone on record to say that he thinks that mobile phones should be banned in cars completely. He's also said in the same kind of interview that he thinks that certain country roads should lower their speed limit from what they already are. So he's the trauma cop. He sees a lot of trauma. He's coming from a place of experience and knowledge and seeing a lot of fairly hardcore stuff. What do we think about this guy? I mean, the mobile phone thing in particular.
I can sympathise with where he's coming from entirely. You know, nobody wants to turn up to an accident and... all the rest of that.
Yeah.
All pretty bad, all well and good. Mm. As for the rationale that's starting to come into this, the wanting to ban mobile phones is simply because the cops can't point a camera at it and say, hey, there's another fine. Mm. That's my point of view. There's sufficient technology in cars now that if people are stupid enough to put a phone in their hand while they're driving and, you know, look, wear it, get the fine, you're silly enough. There's enough technology, there's enough off-the-shelf stuff that you can buy to cover your ass, pardon me, in that realm. So, look, we've come too far into using phones in cars and manufacturers have put too much clever technology into cars to help us through that. As for lowering speed limits on country roads, half the reason that there's accidents on country roads already, and I can say this because I spend a lot of time driving on country roads, is that people are falling asleep at the wheel because it's already so slow that you've got the cruise control set, you're dawdling, you're nodding off, you're in your nice, you know, warm car with your seat heaters on, and you doze off. You're not paying attention to anything. And, you know, bang, there's a tree.
Yeah. Conflict is interesting. Mm. I would love to disagree with everything you're saying, Matt, but I absolutely can't. I totally, totally agree with everything you're saying. Yeah. We've got to a point now where the association speed is demonised, moving anywhere at all is demonised. As soon as there is an accident, people, and I notice I'm calling it an accident, I'm not calling it a collision, which we're all insisting on calling it these days because accident implies that no one is to blame. As soon as there is an accident, someone says, well, there was excessive speed was to blame. Well, absolutely, totally disagree on that. Sitting at 100 kilometres an hour on a freeway that is five lanes wide is actually boring. It's not, it's giving you so little to do that your attention is, I love travelling at 100 kilometres an hour. It gives me time to do my makeup. I can put together a few cocktails. It's great. I love 100Ks because it allows me all this extra attention to do other things while I'm driving. If they allowed 130, perhaps, say, for example, I'd be focusing on my driving so much that I'd be a much safer driver. Completely agree. And your other point about, you know, it's very hard to police having a mobile phone in the car. And, you know, not being able to point a camera at it is, again, a totally valid point. So, as I say, I'm sorry, I would like to disagree because that would be interesting, but you've got an absolutely valid point. Yeah. This guy, whatever his name
Bellion.
Is, Peter Bellend or whatever he's called, I can't remember now.
Detective Sergeant Peter Bellion.
Yes.
Yep, from the major collision investigation.
He's seen some terrible things, but he clearly doesn't acknowledge the fact that Australia is not 15 square kilometres in area and people have to get places. And if you lower the speed limits anymore, it effectively makes life very difficult indeed. And I know if he's listening now, he'd say, well, having an accident makes it very difficult, makes life very difficult indeed. But we have to acknowledge the fact that moving anywhere is a risky business. Getting on an aeroplane is a risky business. Mm-hmm. You know, standing outside your front door in the morning is a risky business. But we take those risks because we have things to do. Yep. And by lowering the speed limits, you're just making life very difficult for everyone and making a bit of a pain in your ass.
And I think if you want to take it back to a further base, we're taught to pass a test. We're not taught how to drive a car.
Yeah.
And this infuriates me. I've got friends in Germany that actually laugh at us. You know, they think it's hilarious that we drive so slowly and that no one knows how to drive properly.
Yeah. And those Germans have got fabulous senses of humour too.
Oh yes.
Yeah, look, it is a bit crazy. I think what he's getting at with the country roads in particular are those single lane roads where you've got a lot of dirt on either side, and when somebody's coming the other way, you have to move to the side. Look, I'm from the country. I grew up driving on those roads at quite a young age, possibly illegally, whatever, that's fine. Thanks, Nan, for the Datsun Stanza. I'm generally with you for those kind of roads. When you're coming over a crest, you don't know what's coming over the other side. If you're a local, locals take complete advantage, or they don't really kind of think that they're ever going to get in trouble on those roads because they know the road so well, and they're the ones that die on those roads. It's really sad. It's really tragic. I kind of get where he's getting at. Not for a highway, not for a major regional arterial road, anything like that, but those kind of back roads, I can kind of get it. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
But is that the way to deal with the problem? I mean, okay, if you've got a single carriage road, effectively, and you've got a 100K speed limit, and you're saying that's effectively a dangerous road, surely the better thing to do would make it a safe road. And the way freeways are so safe, and why they would be so safe to do a higher speed limit than 100K, is because you segregate the traffic and you make sure. So
yeah, but that's going to cost millions upon millions of dollars to do that. I mean, there's so many back roads in regional.
Yeah, and not only that, like as you're saying, there's so many back roads. Who is going to police it? You're not exactly going to leave a speed camera car sitting out there all day on the off chance that somebody's going to go past.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense. People are going to do whatever speed they want to do anyway because they know that there's no one around. So putting a sign there is, what's the point?
And this, go on.
No, you go.
And this whole thing of not having a mobile phone in the car, exactly How is that going to work?
Exactly. I don't know. It's like, what are we going to do? Put it in the boot? I think people have said that before. I think cops have actually said that. It's like, I just put it in the boot. No one in the world is going to put their phone
I think they want you to do is they want you to put your mobile phone in a small Polly Pocket and mail it to your destination so that it's waiting for you on arrival. And then you can open the package and then you can have your phone again. That's perfectly reasonable. I think that's going to work really, really well. And, you know, the same guy is saying that DVD screens in other cars are a distraction.
That's
and therefore they should be banned as well. What is this guy going to think of next?
Well, what's interesting about that is that apparently that's enforceable in Victoria. If you are distracted by another car's DVD player, that's a fine right there.
Yep. Okay, I just got back from New Zealand in the week, and the scenery in New Zealand on the Southern Island is so spectacular. What the New Zealand government is considering doing is levelling all the mountains because they're a distraction. They're actually going to take out all the mountains because currently it's incredibly dangerous to drive in New Zealand because you're not concentrating on the road.
It's ridiculous.
Come on, mate. Get a life.
You're right. Everything is a distraction.
Yes.
Like, you know, hot dudes walking down the street so when you're driving.
I can vouch for that.
No attractive people.
The amount of times I have nearly...
Look, people just need to start taking some responsibility for themselves. And look, if you get into an accident because you were stupid and having the phone in your hand, bad luck. Your own fault.
Yeah. Yep.
We've said it here, haven't
That's
we?
It. Absolutely.
The hard-hitting facts here on Joy 94.9. But let us know what you think. Are we being too harsh? Are we just a massive pack of assholes? Or are we? Do we have some valid points? And we would certainly love to hear your opinion. The text line number is 0427-JOY-949 or email onair at joy.org.au. We've also got Facebook and Twitter, which you can go and find. It's Fender Bender Joy. If you search for those, Nan's back, isn't she?
She is. Yeah. I like it when Nan comes in for a visit.
It's only on the radio. I never do it anywhere else.
I know, it's weird. And especially when you're talking about modern things as well.
I'm a very modern Nan. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim. I am here with Dan and Matt, and we are talking cars. I did get distracted just now. I almost didn't turn the microphones on because I was having a small dance to Salt and Pepper.
I know, isn't it good?
Oh, how exciting.
It takes me back.
All these, and you know who else is touring? Nick Kershaw, Kim Wilde, and in 2 weeks' time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to see Cyndi Lauper.
Get out.
Uh-huh, I will. I'll leave now.
I think it's the I've spent all my money tour.
Yeah. What are you saying?
Cynic.
Probably true. Now, this is Fender Bender. It's all about cars. Now, Dan... You're looking a little warm now. You're looking toasty. You're back here in warm Melbourne.
Yeah, I know. This is balmy considering where I've just been.
Where have you been, man?
Well, this week I was in the Southern Alps on the South Island of New Zealand. And I was there because I was taking part in a course which you can pay to do, hosted by BMW. It's called the Alpine X-Drive. Mm-hmm. And you can, for a day, get helicoptered up into the mountains to a centre called the Southern Hemisphere Proving Ground, which is a 400-hectare complex, which is solely designed for developing vehicles and tyres in an alpine environment. And at this time of year, it is the only place in the world that you can do this kind of testing.
Oh.
Because the rest of the other the wrong hemisphere is in summer.
Topsy-turvy land.
Yeah, that's right. So, this is the only, at this time of year, the only place quite like it in the world. And, it's 400 hectares of varying different terrains, different tasks, and vehicle manufacturers from all over the world come in. In fact, while I was there, Hankook and Continental were both there testing new tyres day and night.
Oh, okay.
But... that wasn't my concern. I was there with BMW to test the X3, X5 and X6 and a car we don't get in this country, the 330D Touring X-Drive.
So X-Drive is their word for four-wheel drive, right?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone needs to just have a safe four-wheel drive.
Yeah, but the good thing about BMW actually is X-Drive, no matter which car it's in, is exactly the same system. Whereas a lot of other manufacturers, they have lots. Yeah, like Audi, for example, have four different systems.
Of the Quattro.
They call it Quattro, but it's actually four different systems. Oh. Whereas in the BMW X-Drive is the one thing they use for four-wheel drive.
Yeah, right.
And I can say, I can attest that having driven the X3, X5, X6 and the 3 Series Touring X-Drive over a day of varying terrain in the Southern Alps, I can say it's a really bloody good system. I was absolutely astounded. The only modifications they'd made to these cars were they had snow tyres on. And snow tyres are actually a fascinating thing. They work in a really interesting way. But so interesting, I'm probably not going to bore everyone by saying exactly how it works. Other than that, completely standard. And we were doing some quite interesting things. For example, there was a we started the day with just a little alpine sort of drive around on. And bear in mind, we didn't see a single bit of asphalt the whole day. It was all snow and ice.
Yep.
And it handled it absolutely admirably. Then we took it on to some more challenging surfaces. They had a complete ice... basically, it was an ice rink. They also had a what they call a split mew, which is not what happens when you hack a cat with a sword. Mm. It is a slope with two different surfaces, one concrete, one sheer ice. Mm. And a lot of cars fail at this test because although a lot of four-wheel drives now are capable of splitting the power front to rear, mm. not all of them can do it side to side. Mm. But the BMW xDrive system can do that, and it was absolutely fascinating to see it doing. Highlight of the day for me...
Yeah.
Was two things. One, they have a circular snow flat where basically the challenge is to hold the longest power slide you possibly can,
awesome.
Which I'm happy to say I did admirably in a cheeky little X3 with a 3-litre diesel.
Awesome.
And also at the end of the day, the one of your instructors will take you around the entire Alpine circuit for a hot lap in an M3. And as we know on Fenderbender, the M3 is two-wheel drive. So that was pretty hair-raising stuff as well.
Was that a little bit alarming?
It was. The guy was brilliant. He was okay. Really excellent. In fact, you know how we have like breakfast shows here on the television in Australia? Well, they had the yes. New Zealand equivalent of their breakfast show filming on the morning that we were there, and they did a few pieces to camera, and he got driven around. Bear in mind, this guy does exciting things every day of his week. Permanently.
That's his job.
I spoke to him breakfast that morning, the following morning, and he said, "This is one of the best things I've ever done."
Wow.
So that just explains how hair-raising and how exciting the day was.
Yeah.
All set in the amazing backdrop of the Southern Alps in New Zealand.
Isn't stunning?
Absolutely breathtaking. Yeah. It was my first visit to New Zealand, and I'm already planning how to go back. It was amazing. Yeah.
Wow,
and if you've got $2,500 spare cash in your pocket, you can go and do the same thing as well. Everything is included. All you have to do is get to Queenstown, and BMW will look after you, put you up in amazing accommodation, meals, everything included.
That's all right, actually.
Well, when you think about it, yeah. I mean, you know, you seriously wouldn't have to spend a penny, if you know what I mean. I did, actually. There's something weird about the altitude. I needed a wee the whole time.
You need to wee the
yeah,
whole time.
Yeah, I wrote my name in the snow several times.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
The full name, Daniel, or just Dan?
Daniel John Gardner, born in... No, I didn't need it that badly.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
That's amazing.
Quite an experience. And really, really staggering. Snow tires are amazing. Just what you can grip. And then I did a rather nice thing, actually, is I took... rather than getting in the bus, and because we didn't get the helicopter back down again, rather than getting in the bus and stopping at pubs along the way, I got in an X5 M50D, which is their super, super torquey diesel, and I was allowed to drive that off the mountain all the way back to my resort. And that was
exciting.
An experience in itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one of those lovely moments where I was all alone in the New Zealand mountains with a lovely X5, and I wondered exactly how the hell it was I'd got there.
Oh, my God. That's exciting.
So, great experience. If you've got $2,500 spare, I thoroughly recommend doing the BMW Alpine X-Drive. It's amazing.
Matty Brogan, have you driven in the snow?
I've driven in the snow, but not in such a manner as Dan.
No. Did you do more sensible snow driving?
Yeah. More of that going up to the snow for a ski kind of driving in the snow.
Pop the chains on?
No.
I meant your outfit. No. Do you still have to put chains on?
Look.
What are we talking about now?
No, the tyres.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right.
It depends. If you own a two-wheel drive, they will pull you over and instruct you to fit them.
Oh, okay.
If the conditions are such that they think you need them. If you own a four-wheel drive, it's at your own discretion.
Yep.
And we went up in the four-wheel drive and they said, it's at your own discretion.
Okay.
So we locked it in four-wheel drive and had no issues at all.
It was absolutely fine. Yeah, okay. I've not driven in snow. I've actually only been to the snow once and I didn't love it. But I am sure that if you loved the snow, this experience would be terrific.
Yep,
yeah. I prefer the après snow lifestyle of the drinking and sitting on the fire, wearing a Chanel après ski outfit.
Fantastic.
But that's just me. Now, Matt, you've, of course, you've had your own experiences in the last couple of weeks. Slightly different to Dan's.
Yeah,
a little
slightly.
Bit more closer to home.
Yeah,
well.
Although, you know, not so much snow as rain.
Oh, right.
We were lucky enough to do a head-to-head performance test with the new HSV GTS, which is, of course, currently the world's fastest four-door.
Is it the world's fastest?
The world's fastest. It's for a few months.
Okay.
Yes. Until a certain something from Mercedes-Benz arrives. But look, it's devastatingly quick.
Is it?
makes all the right noises, very technologically capable. Mm. And we put that up against the FPV GTR spec, which is, of course, Ford's performance flagship yep. of the moment. Mm. And
R-spec.
I remember when that came out. And
is that like when you give someone a little kiss on the bum?
I think
that's, yeah. that's an R-spec, isn't it?
I didn't think they thought about that when they named it, because that was exactly what I thought.
I don't think they thought about the styling when they designed it. But that's just me.
Wowzers.
All those little red highlights kind of look a bit silly. But the car itself is phenomenal. That engine is just incredible. And look, it is a generation behind where the GTS is at the moment, and it's down quite a way on power. But it did redeem itself in a couple of little areas. We did the traditional quarter mile test, of course. Yep. That was rather eventful in the rain, and did some cornering and did all the braking tests and all that fun stuff. And look. No doubt about it. The GTS has come a hell of a long way. It's unbeatable at the moment. But when you jump into the FPV, you can admire it for a lot of the things it does, especially the noise it makes out the back. It's
because it would be a bit more old school, as you say. It's not as up to minute technology.
It's not. Look, and some people love that, and it does feel like you're driving an old school muscle car. Yeah. Whereas the GTS feels like, oh hey, there's all these little things to do it for me now.
Ah, okay.
But look, phenomenal car. Mm. It's Australia's done a really good job with that car, and it's something we should be proud of, and we should try and go and buy some, you know.
What sort of money is it?
It's 93,000 plus on roads. So
this is the GTS.
Yeah.
And what's the FP?
76 ish.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
See, that's not a lot of money, is it, really?
Well, I guess you're going to. Well, I mean,
for the performance.
If you look at an A63 or an M5 or something of the European Germans, you'd be up over the $200,000 mark and getting similar performance, similar equipment. Yeah, so
is it though? Like, is it, you know, the you're driving something like this? It's very Australian. How does it stack up to something like a German?
Quite close, perhaps not as well compromised to every situation. But look, it's not $200,000 away. Mm. You know, it is quite close. Where the differences do lie is when you look at things like fit and finish and cabin textures and the feel behind the wheel and all that sort of stuff. That's where you're paying your money.
Yep.
Yep.
I think it's funny because the current, that GTS and all of the latest crop of HSVs with the new VF styling, I think it's one of the best looking bunches of HSVs in a while, because I think personally they lost their way a little bit with the last lot of VE.
Yeah, it's not quite so polarizing anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I think more people are going to be drawn to it. And I also don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it's as masculine as it used to be.
Yeah.
So some ladies might actually go, hey, you know what, before I wasn't interested, now I just might be.
It'd be quite interesting to know the split of male and female buyers for HSV.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would imagine it would be, you know,
predominantly male
the peen. But, you know, well, I mean, if they went back to having, like, I think they did a little Astra.
Yeah, VX, they did. Yeah, VXR, yeah.
Something like the last Holden Astra.
They did an HSV version of that.
My friend's parents have one of those, and it's a terrific little car.
Yeah.
Yeah, HSV version.
Great.
I think it was a little coupe, which looked amazing.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
And although you might be interested to know that we did ask them sort of off the record a few weeks ago, look, now that Opel's shut up shop, would you be interested in taking some of the OPC stuff? No. With the answer?
A big no.
Oh, so, okay. Look, maybe they'll do something with the Cruze down the track, maybe. But I don't think we're going to see...
Not the current generation.
No.
No.
But I don't think we're going to see, you know, Corsa OPC, Astra OPC, Insignia OPC, unfortunately.
Because there was talk of Holden themselves kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe bringing one of them back at least.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to kind of follow that. And it's interesting, I must say, yesterday I drove past the Opel dealer on Williams Road in Paran. And the workers are back.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I think dismantling.
Because the dealer's not complete, is it?
It's
not
literally half finished.
Ooh.
And it was starting to look really schmick.
Mm.
And it's just, I'm still quite sad about it.
It was
that.
Quite odd, wasn't it? It was sort of just this real flash in the pan and...
Yeah, I think it was a crazy decision. But
someone got their maths very wrong, I think. Huh?
Yeah, very much so. So if you can do maths, let us know. 0427 JOY 949. No, if you have a question or you would like to just say hi, 0427 JOY 949. We would love to hear from you. This is Fender Bender on JOY 94.9. Boys, we had a bit of feedback from our rant earlier.
About, oh, yes.
The head of the trauma unit in Victoria Police has suggested lowering the speed limit in country roads and also, you know, put your mobile phones away, guys. All very valid. Somebody's written in, this dude is a highly experienced police officer who has more training than any of you. Yes, you are a pack of arrogant people. And look, you know, I did say, are we a pack of arrogant a-holes, and you've rightly said yes. Look, certainly we're not discrediting the officer. He is a highly trained professional, and we absolutely respect what he's saying. We just think what he's suggesting is kind of a bit... we've come too far, possibly, for that. So
yeah, people have to suggest the extreme end of the scenario, and then we work back from that, and yep, we find a happy medium in the middle somewhere. So that's what this kind of dialogue really
exactly
comes to doing.
That's what the point of us is to talk about all of that kind of stuff.
That's right. And it's just not a realistic approach when there's so other many more important issues out there that need to be addressed first.
But but thank you, Detective Sergeant Peter Bellion, for your message. We really appreciate that.
That's right. Now, moving on to something a little bit more light and fluffy, guys. Just a little bit. Convertibles.
Yes.
Taking our tops off.
Summer is coming.
Well, this is... Can you feel it? Can you feel it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it everywhere, guys.
The days are getting longer.
Yeah.
A few little shoots on the trees.
I know. Ooh, I'm not ready for my shorts yet, but I am ready to look at convertibles. And look, you know, it's a funny little market in this country, convertibles. It's there's some kind of interesting offerings there, and a lot of people love them.
Yeah, and the good thing is that we're really spoilt for choice at the moment. Like, it doesn't matter what your price range is, there's something for everyone.
Yeah,
which
absolutely
is fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think it's funny though? What's the appeal? Like, I mean, there's an obvious appeal of getting the top down on a summer's day, but I mean, it's not very practical, is it?
It is, actually. Yes, my first car was a convertible.
Get out of
town. No, my first ever car was a convertible.
Really?
Yes.
What was it?
It was a 1976 Java Green Triumph Spitfire 1500.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, which sounds great these days, but back then it was £1,000 or something.
Oh, really?
It was cheap. It had a bit of rust in it. It was a great car, but it was cheap. And put the roof down, you can get anything in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, honestly.
Well, that's true. You can
it was
move
amazing.
House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was great. It was actually one of the most practical cars I've ever owned in terms of that. Because, you know, you don't have the obstruction of doors when you're trying to get a huge IKEA bed into your car. And it was
that's
brilliant.
True.
It was actually, yeah. So
yeah, I must confess to bringing home a barbecue in a, I won't say which brand convertible once, but yeah, they do work for that.
You won't say because it was a press car.
Yeah, and it's probably got scratches all over it now.
That's amazing.
It was fine. I had blankets on the seats.
Okay, yeah, that's all right. But look, what are the cons to having a convertible?
Less and less so these days. The ones that are still doing fabric tops are tough enough to withstand a car wash, an automatic car wash, which of course always you'd avoid like the plague with a convertible. And let's look at how many convertibles are hard tops now. So really, other than a bit of extra weight and a reduced boot space, there's not a lot against owning one, really.
I think you know, just from a living in Australia point of view, is getting burnt, like getting really badly sunburnt. Yep. You know, you forget about putting sunscreen on your ears and these sorts of things until they start peeling a week later. And
especially when you have the breeze over you and you can't feel yourself burning.
That's right.
I think you kind of get this false sense of security, don't you? It's like, I'm moving, so the sun can't get me. Yes, it can. I think you're right. There's some fantastic canvas roof cars, and I've been lucky to drive a couple in the last couple of weeks. One of which was a very stylish little number this week, the Citroen DS3 Cabrio. So they've got a little hatch, quite cute. Like, it's, you know, it's like a fashion focused little kind of, you know, I don't know how you'd describe the DS3. It's like a premium hatch.
It's sort of like the mini of the Citroën world.
Exactly. So they've lopped the top off that. It's a great little car. It's not as kind of secure in the cabin as obviously the hatch is, but they've done a lot of soundproofing work, and the roof colour choices. They've got this incredible blue. I've never seen anything like it, and it's all these cool weaves that kind of looks violet in some lights. Then they've got this other DS, because DS is their kind of premium line, and they're going to really focus on that in the future. DS logo, the way that they've done it, it basically looks like a Louis Vuitton handbag on your roof.
Oh, wow.
On your roof. So if you're into Louis, if you're into designers, check out the Citroen DS3 convertible.
This is Joy. We are into it a little bit.
A little fashion.
Yeah, I say, you know, look out Fiat 500, because now there's some real competition.
Well, there is now. But speaking of that, so what we've got on offer in this country, this Fiat 500, what do they call it? It's just the Cabrio.
C.
Okay, yeah. So now they've dropped the prices of that. That starts at like $18,000 or something for the drop top.
Wow.
You can get a drop top for $18,000.
It's the most realistic pricing of that car since it arrived here.
Yep.
And yeah, well done, Fiat. Like,
I totally agree. I had a Sport last week, a 500 Sport, which I quite liked. So
you did? You liked that a little bit too much?
I actually didn't want to give it up. But, so, you know, starting there, I think Smart, does Smart still do a Cabrio?
Yeah, they do. That's
country?
Just been reducing price, actually.
It has too.
Yeah,
I think they're selling it online.
That's right. Yeah, I think they've knocked about $2,000 off the price of that, which is pretty good. It's now under $20,000.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can get into a kind of cheap one. There's a few others on offer. There's a few bigger ones, actually. And this one, I think, is actually really stylish. The Megane CC.
Yeah, and once you step up into that realm, the choice becomes huge. Yep. You know, you've got your little Golf, which is another great cabrio.
I hear that. Yeah.
It really is. It is... Everything that you love about a Golf, and then take the roof off and enjoy the sunshine. There's nothing not to like about that car.
Yeah.
You've got the little Pug, you've got the MX-5, which is a little bit cheeky in its pricing now that it's gone to a hard top. And, you know, of course, you've got the Mini. And if you get the John Cooper Works package, you can listen to that exhaust through your open top and it sounds fabulous.
That's pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of these cars, it's interesting because the DS3 that I drove, the D-Sport, which is their sporty version, of course, that shares the same engine but a detuned version of the one that's in the Peugeot RCZ, the Mini Cooper S, which is a terrific little unit.
Yep.
It wins lots of awards and all that kind of thing. So it can also, you can be getting like a reasonably priced, like the DS starts at like $30,000 or something like that. You can get a reasonably priced convertible these days. You're not paying a crazy amount of money, but it's interesting you say that about the MX-5. So they don't have a canvas roof anymore.
No, it's all gone hard top.
Which is such a shame. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
It's part of the identity.
It's an icon.
Exactly.
An icon.
You're absolutely right. Such a good point. We have to change the intonation on the word. It is an icon.
Yeah, but it's a shame. I agree. I think that's...
I do seem to recall that they said, look, the percentage wasn't as high as it was for the hard top, the take-up, when they offered both a soft and a hard top. So let's just get rid of it. But there's people out there that love soft top. And, it feels more like what a convertible should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're moving on up even further beyond that, and you've got some quite premium offerings. And I think you and I have both driven the
E-Class.
Mercedes-Benz E-Class Cabrio.
Which is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Even though it's not a completely new model, they've recently upgraded it.
But the refresh has really helped that car along. It's another one of those ones that was quite divisive before, and it was very masculine and very squared off. And now it's softer. It's more pleasant to look at. Yep. And inside, it's only little tweaks, but it just feels more... Everything just gels. It's more cohesive.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a more complete car than the first one. I think they've done really, really well with that. I loved it, actually. I was really impressed. Beamer have got... Is it the 1 Series? That you could look at and get your top off in one of those.
You could. And 3. And if you want to spend some more money, 6. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking like 6 figures now.
Well, the M6 is
well
big
into
money.
6.
Yeah. Over 300, that, like? That, isn't it? I think it's the M6.
Yeah. It is dramatically good.
See,
yeah.
That's another thing, though. Would you have, like, there's convertibles and then there's super performance convertibles like that. Would you want a car that's that full on as a performance car with no roof?
I think it depends what you want it for.
Absolutely.
If you want it for the look at me factor, very much so.
Yeah.
If you want it to go and handle and get out and do a track day every so often, then probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think Aston Martin.
They sure do.
Yeah. Lamborghini Aventador's got.
I heard you've got the R8, which is convertible, available as well. Yeah.
And Porsche to a 911 with a drop top.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So it's unlimited. It's unlimited. Now, there's some great examples right there, obviously.
Yes.
There's some less great examples that we've seen in the history of the world, let's be honest.
PT Cruiser.
Oh, my God. They did a convertible of PT Cruiser.
Oh, God, that car was hideous.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
How dare you remind me?
This is the second time I've insulted PT Cruisers while I've been sitting in this chair.
Must be worth doing, then.
I think it's probably not going to be the last, to be honest. Yeah, good / bad example. And sticking with that theme... Or no, sorry, that company, Chrysler had the Sebring convertible.
Yeah.
That was an ugly enough
car on its own. Yeah, like, before you chop the roof.
It's like going and getting a Camry convertible. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a mid-size car. There's nothing to it. and then we're just going to make it sexy by chopping the roof off. That was a disaster.
So it'd be like cutting the roof off a Malibu.
Well,
you're not doing it any favours.
Cut it in half anyway. Yeah. But then at the same time, Chrysler had the Crossfire, which was a bit of a disaster of a car, but I think it's a striking design, and that convertible looked great.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad from Chrysler.
I don't think there's anything wrong with ugly convertibles.
Tell me about it.
As long as they're cheap.
Okay.
Because as we started off this segment, one of the main reasons for having a convertible is not just the look at me factor. It is, there is something very, very pleasant about travelling at whatever speed on the perfect evening or morning when the sun is out and the temperature is perfect and just feeling, you know, that being caressed by the wind and having that little bit better visibility around you. It is a wonderful, liberating experience.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, when you're sitting on the speed limit, Detective Sergeant Peter Bellion will be pleased to hear me talking about this. When you're sitting on the speed limit, not driving like a lunatic, there really is no greater pleasure of spending time on the road than in a convertible.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter what the car looks like from the outside or how fast it is, because it's still just as fun in a convertible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. It really takes you back to that grassroots of what, you know, getting out there and enjoying your car is all about.
Yeah.
It's
sort of...
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's... Go on.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I do agree with you, but it's what you look like from the outside. And if you're in something hideous, people will think you're a wanker. Don't you think? I think if you're in an ostentatious, some kind of ridiculous looking convertible, immediately people are like, oh, what a wanker.
Yeah. Well,
and that's a shame, I think.
I think a lot of that comes from the fact that most people know how much fun it is to drive in a convertible, and there's probably a bit of envy, really.
Oh, you're saying people are jealous. Yeah?
I'd like to think so, yes.
I see.
There is a problem with convertibles, though, that I would like to talk about. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter which one we're talking about, good, bad, indifferent. There is one problem that seems to come with convertibles inherently, no matter what. The drivers.
What are you saying?
Right, picture this. 27 degrees, which is invariably the best temperature, no matter what you want to do. It is perfect convertible motoring weather. Sun's out, 27 degrees. How many people do you see in convertible cars, good, bad, indifferent, with the roof up and the air conditioning on? Come on, what are you doing? If you're listening and you've got a convertible, if it's 27 degrees and the sun's out, for God's sake, what are you doing?
Get
the roof down. I see it all the time. Those are the people who've bought a convertible because it's beat your neighbour and they don't actually want to use it. Those people need to be escorted to the nearest dealership, chop it in for something boring.
Look, I made the mistake during the launch of the Mercedes-Benz E-Class convertible of taking the top down on that car. Not that it was a mistake, because it's a great car and it does it very quickly. I was in the middle of the Wombat State Forest near Daylesford, which is freezing in summer. So this was only a couple of weeks ago. It was literally down for about 20 seconds and I went, shut it down. This is ridiculous.
Even with the heated seats?
Air scarf?
Yes, the air scarf. The neck. There's a neck warmer, which is brilliant. There's also a problem with convertibles, and this is probably convertibles of the past. I'm talking about you, Ford Capri, leaky roofs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ford Capri.
I saw a rather old gentleman this morning in a Ford Capri with the roof off, wearing a very, very big heavy jacket. Quite fresh this morning, and I just thought, is that because you just will drive that thing with the roof down no matter what?
No, he has to wear...
because it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right. He has to wear that jacket whether the roof is up or down. It'll be cold and wet in there no matter what.
There is one other car I have to bring up, guys, mainly because I posted this picture on social media earlier, and if I don't, it would be remiss of me. But do you remember the Suzuki Cappuccino?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
It looked like
Barbie's roller skate.
No, this could be the first... I was hoping there'd be something for us to disagree about, Matt, and this is going to be it. I love the Cappuccino.
What about a latte?
But it looks the same going backwards as it does going forwards.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nah. So does a train. Well, you just like trains?
You're bringing trains into this.
Yes, you can't just dislike something. What about snakes? They look the same in both ways. Do you hate snakes?
Not all of them.
What is it about? That's a good point. Oh, well, is it about that car that is appealing?
Fabulous little engine. I did a brief time working for Suzuki in the UK, and we used to be able to get in the diagnostics, plug them in, and chip them up to about 100 brake horsepower.
But over here, Dan, it was so expensive for such a silly little car. And
yeah, okay, well, it might not have been very good value, but it doesn't stop it being a good car. And I thought it was fabulous. Great fun to drive. It was proper top-down motoring, strummy little three-cylinder engine that we like, and I thought it was a great car.
Well, apparently they're looking at bringing it back, so good news for you, young man. I tell you. Now, we've come to the end of the show, guys. I just want to have a quick shout-out. The lovely Michelle has texted in. Hi, guys. I have to admit, I've never understood how one could love driving a car, but when my roof is off, I feel a bit cheeky and maybe a little younger too.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Michelle. That's very cute. And, yep. I mean, that's what you get out of a car like that. And in this country, there's so much on offer, so go and check it out if you're interested in what's on the convertible market.
Absolutely right.
Guys, the show's over.
Unbelievable.
Get out. No. Dan, thank you as always.
An absolute pleasure. Here. Yes.
And Maddie Brogan, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Look, you'll be had again, I'm sure, here on Fender Bender and Joy 94.9. Go and find us on social media. Stick around, of course. Hannah is in for Little Fish, and we will be back next week at the same time. Thanks for listening and safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.